As I mentioned earlier, we had the real privilege yesterday of welcoming Tanya Harris to come and just share with us at the conference. And it's certainly in just speaking to a bunch of people yesterday, there was just some wonderful testimonies of people just sharing, wow, this is just amazing. I've never heard teaching like this where, you know, on this particular topic, hearing from God, that's not weird. So Tanya has this amazing ability just to take these this area of our faith, you know, hearing God's voice and kind of demystifying it into a way that is so easy to follow, so easy to grasp and grow in. And that is something that I greatly appreciate about Tanya's teaching, is grounded in Scripture, but practical and super encouraging. Tanya ministers all over the world in various places and across denominations as well. Where God's really opened doors for her to just share this message of God conversations, of learning to grow in hearing God's voice and respond to what He's saying. And this is her bio, as I just before I welcome her up. Reverend Dr. Tanya Harris is an ordained minister, practical theologian, an author, a broadcaster, and the director of God Conversations, a global ministry that equips people to recognize and respond to God's voice. So we have the privilege of welcoming Tanya again this morning. Would you welcome her as she comes to share and bring God's word to us today?
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Pastor Adam. Reverend Yes. Adam. Good morning, Vision Church. How are you? Fabulous to see some familiar faces from yesterday. We had such a great day. I said to Adam and Steph, and Andrew as well. You know Andrew's away, don't you? Yeah? I said, you're very trusting of me, you know, because when the cat's away, yeah? But they invited me to come along, and I said, you know, I was here 2.5 years ago and I had such a great time. So the answer was a very quick yes. I had a wonderful time because your heart is so open and warm and receptive. And that's the heart that the Holy Spirit is looking for when it comes to hearing God's voice. So thank you for having me. Thank you for hosting me. And much love to Andrew, wherever you are. I know he's in Singapore, I believe. That's right. He's preaching this morning too. Bless him. Many of you know my story of God conversations began out of my own personal God conversation at the age of 21. And one of the questions I had was, well, first of all, how do you recognize God's voice? What does it sound like? But another question I had was, what happens when God does speak? How does it affect your life? I wondered, what difference would it make? And I'd soon discovered that it radically changes your life. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, how when God speaks, your life will never be the same. But it's still important that we recognize it, isn't it? How does God speak? I had been going along on this journey for quite some time when God spoke to me in a really unusual way. It came while I was sleeping in a dream. And I remember waking up the next morning thinking, what was that? And I realized that God was speaking to me. So I thought, I'm going to just check this out. And so I went to my friends. I said, I think God has spoken to me in a dream. And they said, what? Tanya, that's really strange. I'm like, yeah, it is. It is a bit strange. But I think that's how God spoke to me. And then I went to my pastor and I said, oh, pastor, I think God's spoken to me in a dream. And he said, oh, that's strange. You're a bit strange, aren't you, Tanya? I said, oh, thanks. But then I opened my Bible and I realized, oh, it's okay, because they were strange too. Did you know that dreams and visions are the most common way that God speaks in the Bible? Did you know that? Someone has counted them. Around 800 dreams in the Old Testament, and not quite as many, but a lot in the New. Did you know that the Christmas story has 5 dreams in it? Jesus would have been murdered as a baby if not for people hearing the voice of God while they were sleeping. In fact, the book of Job talks about this. It says, why do you complain that God doesn't speak? God does speak in a dream or vision of the night, but you don't notice it. See, here's the thing. We haven't changed much since the days of old. We don't notice it. Part of the reason we don't notice it is in the Western church, it comes with the connotations of being a bit wacky, a little bit strange. And the reason for that is sometimes people don't understand how this works, and it can become wacky. But Vision Church is committed to helping you recognize the voice of God, as is the Ministry of God Conversations, because I discovered that God still speaks in the same way as in biblical times. And when we learn to recognize it, it can change our lives. So I want to encourage you that this course that is happening in the life of Vision Church is not wacky. When the Spirit speaks, it sounds like Jesus calling us to follow. But as people who are learning to hear the voice of God, we need to understand what God sounds like. Because sometimes dreams and visions speak a language of pictures that we don't recognize immediately. And what this course will do is it will help you to be alert and awake to what God might be saying to you as you sleep, or even as you wake in the language of pictures. And I encourage you that the God of the Bible is the same God that you serve. The same Holy Spirit poured out on the church is the same Holy Spirit poured out on us. Peter said, he quoted on that day of Pentecost, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will have visions, your old men will have dreams. He was saying that God speaks to every single one of us in multiple ways, but he does love to speak in dreams and visions. So I encourage you to come along to that course and really get a lot out of it. I want to tell you a story about a man called Don. Don was a young man who had been in ministry for a few years when he was invited to take a promotion to be the senior minister of a new church. God had spoken clearly and given Don the confidence to move location, to pack up his family and move from his town and take on this wonderful new responsibility of being the senior pastor of this church. He had moved house. He was unpacking his boxes just before he took up his new role when he had a dream. In the dream, he was standing watching a group of men who were wearing white hazmat suits. They were hard at work cleaning out a ditch. They were digging and clearing this huge piles of muck and putting it on the roadside, this putrid, toxic waste. And as he woke up, he was overwhelmed by the sense that everyone who drove past the muck would see it. A few days later, he was in his office on his first day of work, and as he began to plan for his week, a new appointment was made by a woman in the church. She came and sat on the opposite side of his desk, and she began to confess to him that she had had an affair with the former senior pastor of the church. A few days later, another woman made an appointment with him and confessed to having an affair with the former pastor of the church. Then a third one came, and a fourth, and a fifth. Around this time, Don had another dream. He saw a dilapidated house, ruined house. There were wooden window sills peppered with borer holes. And then he saw a big hand coming from heaven with a flame inside the hand. And the hand passed over the window sills. And as the flame came, bugs and insects came running out of the window sills. The next day, another woman made another appointment, confessed an affair. One of Don's fellow staff members says, all this stuff is coming out of the woodwork, isn't it? I want to speak to you today about the Holy Spirit as truth teller. When we invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us, we will discover that the Spirit is the God of truth. The Spirit speaks truth and invites us to go on a journey that transforms us from the inside out. So, Father, I want to pray that this morning, as we sit and listen to you, as we come around your good news, the gospel, that we have just been singing about the beauty of Jesus, who gave his life for us on the cross, who paid that price, who showed us that the power of sin and death is broken. I pray that the witness of your Spirit will permeate into our hearts and that we will see clearly what you are saying to us and receive the grace to respond, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Holy Spirit is a truth teller. How are we going with those slides up the back? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. When we talk about hearing God's voice, we talk about the fact that Jesus sent the Spirit to speak to us. Jesus spent 3 years on earth with the disciples, teaching them, walking with them, showing them what God is like. And when he was on earth, he made this statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." After his 3 years of ministry was concluded, he made that announcement to his disciples, "I'm leaving everyone." Oh, they were shocked. "What? No, Jesus, you can't leave. How are we going to hear your voice?" And then Jesus says those profound words, "It's better if I leave, because then I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. And my Spirit's going to remind you of everything I've said. Everything I've been talking about for 3 years, all those beautiful truths, the way of salvation. My Spirit's going to remind you of those things. But I have so much more to tell you. But my Spirit's going to speak about things to come. My Spirit's going to go with you and be my continuing voice, showing you how to follow me wherever you go." And of course, that's what's happened. What happened? Jesus died on a cross, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven. And I imagine those disciples watching Jesus going, "Oh no, how are we going to hear your voice now?" And then, of course, we get to that monumental moment on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came on who? Everyone. And Peter says, "Now that the Spirit is on everyone, everyone gets to have visions and dreams. Everyone gets to prophesy." What did he mean? Well, he meant that the times had changed. It was no longer the scenario under the old covenant where the prophets were the ones who heard the voice of God through dreams and visions and then prophesied. They passed the message on. Now it was sons and daughters, young and old. Every demographic, every group of people would be able to hear from God, receive the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of Jesus in their lives wherever they went, reminding them of Jesus and then showing them how to live by it as they went out on God's mission. And we see that pattern through the life of the church from that point on. 21 God conversations in the book of Acts, most of them are visions and dreams. And then that continues throughout the whole church, right to the end of the first century when we get the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, which is entirely visions and dreams. The Spirit was speaking to people. The Spirit of truth, reflecting the way of Jesus. The Spirit is a truth teller. The Spirit speaks into our hearts and convicts us of sin, showing us what is true and what is false. Another way of understanding it is like a two-edged sword. The sword that divides between truth and falsehood. Nothing is hidden from the Spirit of truth. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The Spirit comes to expose the muck out of the ditch on the roadside. The toxic waste in our hearts that clogs us up, that pulls us down. The Spirit is a consuming fire, the flame that comes over the wooden windowsills and all the bugs start to come out, consumed by the fire. When we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, we're inviting the Spirit of truth to reflect the pattern of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Think about how Jesus was the truth. Everything he said was truth. Everything he did was truth. His yes was yes. His no was no. There was no shadows. There was no deceit. There was no lies in Jesus. And when he interacted with people, he brought truth every time. Can you please track along with the next couple of slides so we can see the scriptures? That would be awesome. So think about the times that Jesus spoke truth. Remember the time when he spoke to the rich young ruler, "What must I do to be saved?" What did Jesus say? "Buddy, you got a problem with money. Give it away." Yeah? Or what about when he spoke to the woman at the well? They had just been chatting about getting a drink and suddenly he starts talking about her personal life. "Oh, you've had five husbands." We don't know why she had five husbands. Back in those days, a woman could be divorced with a word from the man, but it still was a shameful thing to have lost so many husbands somehow. Jesus goes straight in there. Or what about when Jesus spoke to Peter? "Hey, Peter, I know you're trying to be faithful, but you're going to betray me three times." What? Or what about the Pharisees, the temple officials, who are giving sacrifices in the temple courts and secretly making money from it, exploiting the poor who'd come with pure and earnest hearts to give an offering to God, and those temple officials were taking the cream off and giving it for themselves. And Jesus flips the tables and drives out the animals with a whip. See, Jesus was a truth teller, came to show us what is in our hearts, and then the Spirit continues to do that. And it's at that point we realize how ugly sin can be. See, the truth is that our hearts are clogged with falsehood and lies and deceit. It clogs us up. It stops us from being free. Sin is a loaded term, isn't it? What is it? In Scripture, sin is our tendency to miss the mark, to err, to get it wrong, that temptation that stops us doing what we want to do. We do things that are damaging to ourselves and to others, and it causes us to be enslaved. It's like prison bars that keep us in. People who are made in the beautiful image of God, people who are born to love God and others, and then we have this problem of sin that stops us, it confines us, it restricts us, it binds us up, and it hides in our hearts. Jesus said that when you follow me, that nothing will be concealed, nothing will be hidden from my sight. Jesus said, "What you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight." Ooh. Really? What I've whispered behind closed doors? Those dark, jealous thoughts I've had that no one else has seen, they're going to be made known. What you have whispered in inner rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops. Ooh. Imagine if people saw the ugliness of my sin. There's an interesting development in the scientific world in the last few years. All over the Western world particularly, there's been centres of research spring up looking at a phenomenon known as near-death experiences. Has anyone ever heard of this? It's super, super interesting, because what these atheistic scientists are discovering is that there seems to be evidence for a world beyond what we can see. And they've done all these studies on people who have had near-death experiences where they've been in a car accident or something like that and they've become brain dead. And they're in the hospital rooms, and unbeknownst to them, the person's spirit has left their body and they're having an experience of the afterlife. And these scientists have collated all the data, they've interviewed them, and they've isolated the common patterns that they've seen. And many of these people report this beautiful meeting with a being full of light and of love. They've also reported darkness as well. And in these reports, they talk about a renewed creation, colours that are indescribable, flowers that are picked and then grow again. People who are blind, who can suddenly see things they've never seen, reunion with loved ones. It's so difficult to describe in words. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and he describes a visit to the third heaven, and he speaks of wonders that he can hardly describe. What is going on here? We may question the legitimacy of these things, but the interesting thing about them is that a common element is that these people experience a life review, where they see everything that has happened in their life pass them by. There's one particular man who writes about his story, and he talks about the life review. His name is Howard. He saw his life passed by him. And this is what he said. "Now I began to experience Jesus's and the angels' literal pain, emotional pain, with watching the sins in my life. I had not been the father to my kids that I should have been, and I knew I hadn't because I was busy. I was trying to be somebody. Their football games and the band concerts and the choral concerts and the theatre performances, they could all wait because I was busy being important. I was doing stuff, making myself into somebody. The emotional abandonment of my children was devastating to review." Many of these reports talk about this life review, and many of them say that the thing that was most highlighted in the review was how people's actions had hurt other people. They saw the impact of thoughts and behaviours that damaged others. Their life review was transformative, because when they came back into their bodies, they had a different perspective. When we think about a life review, when we think about the God of truth, when we think about the Spirit shining a light on the darkness of our hearts, how do we respond? How does that make you feel? Anyone feeling good right now? You know, I'm feeling a little bit nervous. The interesting thing about these life reviews is that every single person who had them saw the fear, saw the damage, saw the ugliness of their sin. But then, in the presence of God, they experienced incredible grace. No judgment, no condemnation. I think about the temple officials in Jesus' time. I think about the woman at the well. When the woman at the well was confronted with truth, how did she respond? She didn't run away. She didn't deny it. She didn't cover it up. She didn't pretend to be someone else. You see, when we are confronted with truth, what do? It wasn't me. Oh, yes, but it was them. Oh, no, I didn't do it. No. Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't mean to do that. Oh, you misunderstood me. The temple officials did that. When Jesus proclaimed truth in the temple, what did they do? They plotted to kill him. You're the problem. They refused to confess it. See, what happens when the Spirit shows us truth? Oh, it's ugly. No one likes it. We have a choice in that moment to respond. The thing that stops us from acknowledging truth is fear of condemnation. What did Jesus say when he was here? I've come to save the world, but not condemn it. When the Holy Spirit does God's truth-telling in our lives, the response of God is grace and forgiveness. We're invited to experience the good news in our hearts that then goes on to set us free. But it requires us to confess the truth, to acknowledge the truth. This is what they understood when they started Alcoholics Anonymous. Did you know that it was started by Christian people? The 12-step recovery process. What's the first step? Hi, my name's Tanya and I'm an alcoholic. We can't have transformation and freedom without confession. We have to sit in the truth. We have to acknowledge that it's real. We have to take responsibility for it. Hi, my name's Tanya and I'm a liar. Hi, my name's Tanya and I betrayed you. Hi, my name's Tanya and I made a promise I couldn't keep. I'm Tanya and I exaggerated the truth. I'm Tanya, I covered it up. I deceived you. See, this is not easy, is it? But it becomes easy when we understand that God's heart is grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And when we experience the truth-telling Holy Spirit, we're invited to confess it, to acknowledge it, yes, to see the ugliness of it, that muck by the roadside, but it is not for condemnation. It is not for shame. It is for freedom. And the Spirit says, will you receive the grace that Jesus came to demonstrate, to give us? Or will you be like the temple officials? No. It was their fault. You're the problem. And the truth-telling Spirit comes and we resist and we say, no, I won't let you come. But when we confess the truth, we receive grace. There's a beautiful scripture in Psalms and it says, grace and truth have met together. Justice and peace have kissed each other. When we acknowledge truth, we experience grace. And it sets us free. The truth will set us free, but only if we allow the truth to be seen. See, Fatini comes away, the woman at the well, tradition tells us her name was Fatini. She comes away from that truth-telling conversation changed. Jesus said, you'll receive the living water. She receives it. She becomes one of the greatest evangelists of her day. In the 3rd and 4th century, in the Eastern Orthodox tradition of the church, in the sermons, tales were told about her. She was like one of the apostles, equal to them, because her ministry was so powerful after it. Truth, when it is received, transforms us and sets us free. It removes the sludge, it removes the toxic muck, the sin that clogs up our hearts and stops us from loving God and people. It is an invitation to be free. A beautiful act of grace. The challenge, of course, comes. However, we may be able to receive the grace of God for our sin, but what about the grace of those around us? What happens when I confess the truth of my sin? How do we, the church, respond to that? Studies have been done on opinions of the church outside the church and how the church is known for its judgmentalism. How will I respond when you tell me the truth? Will I shame you? Will I condemn you? When we judge others to take the place of God, when we pretend to be the Holy Spirit, the truth teller, the result of that is people experience shame. And that sludge stays deep inside, locked away. We never get set free. We must first receive the grace for our own sin so that we can give it to others. Some years ago, I was staying with my mum for a time, and mum and I didn't have a fabulous relationship back then. There were different reasons for that. And I remember having an interaction with my mum, and I said some really harsh things, and I made her cry. Sin is ugly, isn't it? I remember in that moment feeling so convicted. The Holy Spirit was truth-telling, and I saw it for the first time clearly. And I remember in that moment thinking, oh, Tanya, you're not very good at this. You just made your mother cry, the one who gave you life, the one who raised you, the one who provided for you, the one who loves you unconditionally. You just really hurt her. You said some nasty things. You were mean. You were inconsiderate and thoughtless. And I felt God saying to me, Tanya, would you learn to love your mother better? And I sat with that. Truth is hard, isn't it? It's hard to receive. I'm a minister. I travel around the world and I speak to churches, and I've got a PhD in theology and I write books, and oh, my heart is shadowed by sin. And I remember thinking, I need to respond. I need to see it. I need to confess it. And I need to make choices to grow in this area. And I knew what I had to do was get on the phone and confess it to my friend. I knew I had to tell someone, because I knew that I couldn't work this out by myself. I knew I wasn't good at this. So I called my friend, and I remember feeling really nervous. My friend was one of my students back in the day. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. I felt humiliated. But I knew I had to do it. I got on the phone and I said, God has spoken to me. I need to learn to love my mum more. And I've watched the way that you loved your mum. You nursed her. You cared for her through those years of Alzheimer's. You watched over her. You sacrificed your leisure time to be with her. You loved her as she was dying and as her brain was dying. I know you can love your mum much better than I love my mum. Can you help me? And then I waited for her response. I braced for condemnation. Oh, Tanya, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be a pastor and a minister. What? Can't believe that you are hopeless at this. Thankfully, those words never came out of her mouth. Instead, she gave grace. Of course I can help you. I would love to do that. You're forgiven. Jesus says by grace that you are saved. I can help you. I came home and I spent some time with my friend, and together we created a plan. I love my mum. We worked out some good boundaries. We looked at the love languages. How does my mum receive love? We talked about some of the issues of my heart that were holding me back from loving, and I started to walk it out. I started to be truthful to the reality of my situation instead of pretending that I was a great daughter. And as I did that, can you guess what happened? the love began to flow. It began to get easier. And as time went on, I discovered myself feeling freer than I have ever felt before. God began to show me some of the hurts that had gathered over the years and some of the issues of my heart that were holding me back. And I began to experience the truth that sets us free. Yeah. This is the truth-telling Holy Spirit. This is the one that Jesus sent to continue the mission that he started, to show us what it means to be the way, the truth, and the life. And when we come to God and we say, God, would you speak to me? Would you help me to follow you in my life? We're inviting the Spirit of truth to come and begin to clear out that muck in our hearts, to invite us on that journey. It's a challenging one, isn't it? But every single one of us is in the same boat. We're all sinners saved by grace, aren't we? And the Holy Spirit is here wanting us to be free, wanting us to come and walk in his ways that we may be more effective in loving God and loving people. Are you up for that? This morning I want to invite you just to ask the Holy Spirit to speak truth into your heart. And I understand if this is difficult for some of us. There may have been times in the past when you have been truthful to yourself and to others, and the result has been shame and condemnation. And I want to say to you today that Jesus hung on a cross to demonstrate to you that there is no condemnation, that God's love is so great and his grace is so free that you can come into his presence and be loved irrespective of what you have done, irrespective of what you have said and where you have failed. The Spirit wants to come to you and welcome you into his presence. But it requires us to respond, to acknowledge the truth, to confess it, first of all to ourselves, and then to others who will help us to walk in truth. I'm Tanya, and I'm a sinner. That's the truth. But I'm going to be free. I'm going to walk freely. This sludge, this putrid muck of sin is not going to follow me around. It's not going to bind me up. It's not going to get in the way of my relationship with the people I love. It's not going to interfere with my walk with God. Are you up for that this morning? I want to lead us in a prayer. We're going to take a couple of minutes and perhaps a couple of musicians might like to come up. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak truth to our hearts. Invite us to go on a journey of acknowledging what that means for us. So why don't you stand with me? I said to Jenny at the hotel this morning, it's a bit of a heavy message today. But then I corrected myself and said, no, this is not a heavy message. This is the good news of Jesus. This is a moment of great opportunity to be set free this morning. The Holy Spirit knows you. The Holy Spirit sees you every moment, every thought, every conversation. Still, God loves you anyway. There's grace here this morning. Father, we thank you for your beautiful invitation to see the truth that will set us free. You are the God who shines a spotlight on our hearts, searching those places that we've hidden away. So God, I pray that you would, even in this moment, speak truth to us. What are you showing me? What do you see that needs to be cleaned up? David once prayed. Soon after he'd been confronted with truth, he'd been involved in a scandal too. He'd committed adultery, and then he'd sent the woman's husband to her death. It's no small sin. And then he prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, you desire truth in my innermost parts. Every part of me, every corner of my heart, you desire truth. Create in me a clean heart. Is that your prayer this morning? Spirit of truth, we pray that you would come now. Shine a light on our hearts. Any wicked way in us, God. If God's showing you something, can I just encourage you to articulate it back to God? Not out loud, just in your heart, whatever that might be. Sometimes it can be the smallest thing. It might be a bigger thing. My name is Tanya and I'm a sinner. Confess it to God this morning. I pray, God, for your spirit of grace to come over every person who's prayed a prayer of confession, whatever that might be. Pray for grace to flow even now. There is no condemnation. There is no shame in this room. Nothing that is counted against you. Only welcome, only love unconditional. For it is by grace you are saved. Receive it this morning. Let it fill your heart, your mind. Set us free. We pray. In Jesus' name. Prayed that prayer of confession to God this morning. Thank you. It's an invitation to be set free. One or two things I want to invite you to do at this point. There's a reason the writer to the book of James said, confess your sins to one another. The reason is because having expose the sludge of our sin, we want to walk in a new way. And that's when we need each other. I needed my friend to help me learn to love my mother. I needed my friend to help me resolve some of those issues in my life, to walk a different way. There are times in Jesus' ministry where sin was exposed. And then things had to be dealt with. Recompense needed to be made. Restoration needed to happen. And that's going to look really different for every person. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit will show you how to act on that, what that means for you, whether that means a confession or a change of behavior or a recompense or something that you actually need to do to walk in that truth. But I want to offer some prayer this morning. We have a wonderful prayer team and we have space where we want to minister to you that grace to enable you to keep walking in truth in the company of brothers and sisters who love you and who will not heap shame on you. If you're up for that, if you would like to receive prayer, I'm going to invite you to come to the front this morning as a step of courage and a step of faith that we can actually pray for you as you do that. Sound good? I'm going to pray one more prayer and then I'm going to hand back over. But then I want to encourage you to come. God's been doing something in the service. Perhaps your heart's been thumping and you feel that Holy Spirit conviction. I invite you to come. Receive prayer. Receive grace this morning. Receive the support of your church family as you walk in truth. But for everyone else, thank you so much for listening so beautifully this morning. I truly am praying for life-changing God conversations in the life of this church in the days to come. So, Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the truth that sets us free. Would you continue to lead us in the way of Jesus, the truth, the life of Jesus? May we experience it in powerful ways, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.